Today on our program, visiting with the legendary John Rosa, landfill administrator, recycling coordinator. Welcome back.
Good to be here. Good morning.
Hey, we've got sunshine. We've had rain. We got mud. We got you name it. And we do have a lot of different things that are going on. Again, good to have you back.
And, good to be here.
Where am I going to start, you're saying?
Where?
Well, today, again, one of the things that is happening, and you did give supervisors your proposed budget. Again, we've touched on the budget for the landfill before. Done separately because it is an enterprise fund. About the, I guess, there are no property tax dollars outside of the fact that you do have a per capita fee that people pay, but that has been paid, and again, that's something that was set up long before. That was even before I was here. So that's how long ago it's been in place.
Yeah.
The other part is, and you got to put that budget. Everything is income from the landfill stays in the landfill. Literally,
that's right.
Stays
yep.
in. We're hoping it stays in the landfill.
That's the goal.
And so, budget going on, and yep. Once again. Not sure what all is going to take place with it, but I know they always kind of look to see if we are going to be doing this. One thing that I always wonder is, same kind of work needs to be done every day, and it takes so many people to do that. Bottom line.
Right.
That's the operating for the landfill. Doesn't matter how much is coming in, stuff like that. Obviously, that could have more, you know, working hours and
sure.
wear and tear on equipment. But bottom line is, you got to have the same stuff done every day. You got the same time frame. So operating just does not really, you can't really cut into that.
Right.
Well, outside of doing things like, you know, our cardboard collection opportunities. And again, should we get a forest main to do leachate and stuff like that? That alleviates some of that work. Probably not going to alleviate a lot of positions because people are taking care of that anyway.
Right. You know, adding the forest main to pump the leachate right into the city lines, it'll certainly be helpful. I can't argue that, but it's not like there's nothing with the leachate process that that we're free of it. We have actually three different areas that leachate gets collected, and we have to do something with it and handle it correctly. So the one forest main line would just be one, dealing with one of them, the big one, and it's our lagoon to haul the leachate into town or to pump it that way. So instead of hauling that, but the other two access points need to be still collected and pumped and discharged appropriately. So there's still that element of it. But then there's the ongoing maintenance, the pumps, and make sure everything's operational. There's still, it's not going to be, you know, sit back in a chair and just do nothing with that aspect of it. It's going to help. It's certainly going to alleviate some anguish on my end when we have torrential rains that will, you know, drop a 4-inch rain, and suddenly that lagoon starts filling up really fast, and then we get a little bit nervous and scared that what's going to happen. So we'd be able to crank up the pumps a little faster or plan ahead, knowing spring, you know, it's going to rain. So let's get it pumped down even further. You know, the guys have been doing a great job with pumping it and hauling it into town currently, but it'll be easier and easier to regulate that process as we go forward. So it still doesn't say, well, we don't need that at all. There's still going to be things to do.
You still have loads coming in. It may not, you know, they still have the same work they have to do on the face.
Right. Yep. There's still that. A lot of times it's two. You know, you throw rain into the mix of, and then suddenly haulers can't back down quite as far, you know, as we want them to. We try to find a reasonable amount. So then we have to push it and push it with one piece of equipment down to the pile to where the compactor is, because the compactor is so big that it tears up the area where they can unload if they were to drive the compactor out into that area.
Let's not be doing that. That's
yeah,
a lot
that doesn't
of
help.
Work.
Yeah. So in those situations, then you need an extra person even. So it creates issues, you know, and then that's if we're fully staffed and if someone's not on vacation or not sick.
Or injured.
or injured or whatever it might be. Yeah. But there's certainly other things going on. It's not like that's the sole job. There's the leachate component of it. But there's a lot of paper picking up, you know, those winds, and we have the netting, but we still have to go get the stuff. We can't just leave it there. So there's just a lot of jobs that go on a regular basis. What you're saying is it's like we do these projects, but that doesn't just eliminate staff. We're still going to need the staff that we currently have. So not looking to, at this time, to replace anybody with those processes. We've actually thinned in a lot of ways over time.
I was going to say, yeah, I mean, even the even eliminating C&D, getting that hauled to another facility, okay, you're not getting that, but you still have C&D coming in locally. And you still got to deal with that, and you still have, and then you still have so many people need to work recycling to do that.
Yep, that's it.
So I mean, it's just the operating does not really go down, does it? It just
no, not really. It doesn't. I mean, unless we would have a huge volume coming in to where then we're having to push and smash, having to have two operators in there. But, you know, if everything goes well, you get down to one guy doing that, maybe a second guy to come in and help out every now and then sporadically. But otherwise, you know, that's what we need. You know, the we have the staff that we need, and getting thinner would be scary, so, problematic.
I know that's because those are questions, and obviously the kinds of questions supervisors would ask. If this happens, what can we do to reduce operating expense? Hard to do. I know they did agree, and you did present to them to start doing, because of the reduction of having C&D come in from Story County and Ames. That is having an impact on income, and you're looking at... Again, we've talked about the rates, fourth lowest in the state or something like that. One of the lower rates in the state.
We are, yeah.
And starting to pick that up as less material comes in.
Yep.
We have to balance that out to keep our operating there. And those reserves, because let's put it this way, a compactor is not an inexpensive piece of equipment.
No, excuse me, not at all.
If you can find one without a, you know, get it here. We don't know.
Yeah. We looked at where we're headed in the next 3, 5, 10, you know, and beyond years down the road. We're looking at a plan to decrease the amount of garbage coming into our landfill. To do that, that's kind of eliminating Ames and Story County from their waste coming to us, like it has been. The C&D has been diverted. That's been helpful. Decrease the tonnage coming into us. And then we're going to keep working towards that as they make their preparations for their future as well, and development of a transfer station, as I understand it. Then they will be able to manage their waste more effectively. And part of that would be to not come to us anymore. So as we look at that, you take a tonnage level from like 85, 90,000 ton. We've been in the 80s and 90s, 90,000 ton annually for the last... 7 years, 8 years in the 80s.
Probably.
It just has grown over time, and then it's been staying in the 80s and 90s. You know, now we're looking back, getting it down to, you know, in the lower 80s now, and then continue to make that progress down to probably to the 50s. Mm-hmm. When you're paying that amount coming in, when you take away the quantity, then I guess you have to make up a little bit of the difference, excuse me, with the prices. So, we still have the expensive equipment. We still have staff. Excuse me. Still things to deal with. And ultimately, if you can do a comparison to where you are or where we are, as you alluded to, Jim, that we're in the bottom portion of that. Mm-hmm. I look at a lot of the comparables in our area and where they're at, how much higher they are. And we don't always have to be like the others, but we also have to be competitive and fair. So yes, there's designated service areas that the DNR says your garbage must come here. But I know there's people out there that will skirt those issues and go where it's cheapest and not afraid to lie about it. And that's problematic. And if we kind of level the playing field, then maybe there's no it's not advantageous for others to come out of their other area and into ours, because we would be lower. So raising that up is something that we need to do as we go forward. Where we're at right now, there's a lot of pros to doing that. Yes, cons. I understand. Mm-hmm. Raising rates, never a popular move.
No.
But it's also where we need to be. And
I know your haulers. You had some of the haulers were actually at the supervisors meeting too, and they knew it. They understand it.
Everything's more expensive, you know. And just like there was some legislation out there that says let's control how much rates can be raised. We were not involved in that, but you know, if that had gone through, then that's saying that businesses using our services or, you know, charging us things, they can raise their rates, you know, for fuels, electricity, whatever it might be. Those things can be raised. Repairing equipment. You look at how much that costs per hour. Those rates go up. Steel prices, buying new equipment, replacing that stuff, that all increases. But let's regulate how much it costs to dump your stuff at the landfill. That's problematic. That's not a fair comparison. That they really would have put a bind at us. So really, this is about preparation for the next 3 years and then beyond to align us to where we should be more appropriately priced. So that's why the need is to start making those steps right now.
I think new fiscal year would be in July.
July 1.
So I kind of, what all I said on air pretty much is people that have a hauler, you might be watching for an adjustment in those rates.
Yep.
I mean, they have to cover it one way or another. So
that's correct. Yep.
So people pay. That's the bottom line.
And it's keep in mind, you know, that we're still reasonably priced compared to what other facilities are doing. Very much, we're not even pushing like the top half at the, you know, with this change. And it'll still continue, and we'll still, we're not trying to gouge by any means, just trying to do what's right and fair. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's the mindset too that we're so cheap that people have the mindset of, it's so cheap, just throw it all away. Who cares? Let's incentivize recycling with that. If we raise our rates a little bit more, be like, wow, if I can do this to divert all my cardboard and batteries and plastics and all the stuff that can be recycled, instead of just saying, who cares, throw it all away, it's cheap, let's incentivize it, and maybe then some of that stuff will get diverted more appropriately where it should be. Yeah. Recycling those again, materials, the cans, all the stuff.
Obviously, the issues we have, again, we only have so many market opportunities on recycling, and so does the contractor we work with to send it to. But you've made that effort, again, on the cardboard, and you're making a couple of trips a month, I think, down to get that sold. Obviously, we're not making money on it, but we're not spending money.
That's right.
Well, we are spending money to do it.
To spend less overall.
We're spending less.
Yeah.
Yep. That's the goal anyway. I know. And by the way, they're gradually working through some of the things. I know that one of the things we agreed here with how long it takes us to put into our bin, our big roll-off, maybe once a month stop.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the things that we're going to work with and see how it fits in.
And has that been working okay for you?
So far,
Good.
So far,
I like the feedback. Yeah. I like to hear the positive stuff, of course. But even if it's, you know, not working, we would like to hear that from folks, too.
For us, it's working good here at the station.
Good.
That's because we put enough recyclables in there, and that'll end up going out, handled. And we'll a lot of it is paper, some cardboard, but mostly paper and any other things that we can do.
Yep, so. You bet.
It does. All right, free yard waste started last week.
Yes.
Continues. It's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday event. I did actually have someone else in. I don't know if I like that or not. But volume-wise, those are the days, and again, historically, because you keep that information available, but historically, you get more traffic on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Yep. That was it. And I was trying to condense it. And frankly, what we're doing now with the Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, in all honesty, that's a lot more than what other facilities are doing too. So even though we cut it back, it should be more. But for now, we'll leave it at this. Never know. There's maybe some changes. Still looking at the methane collection project, and if that surfaces, then we can just bury all that yard waste, and then we can bypass that whole service indirectly. So, you know, there may be changes coming with that down the road as well. But we'll Thursday, Fridays, and Saturdays between now and the end of May for your spring cleanup time.
yard waste. That would be good to. I mean, if that methane project moves ahead, it gives it an opportunity because it makes great methane.
Yep,
green stuff makes great methane.
It's counterintuitive to what we're trying to do, is take less stuff into our landfill. But now we would start burying the yard waste and be like, well, you want to have less in there, but now you put the yard waste in. But it actually would, that stuff would actually decompose a little bit, and as you mentioned, produce some methane for the for them to capture and reuse. So kind of a good process there too.
All right, so we call it for most people free yard waste. It's free to bring it out there and dump it. Okay. Again, yard waste stuff. Ryan and I did have a little bit of a chuckle over the Christmas trees because we don't think there's many of those out there right now.
But, no.
But any other land or items out of your yard and stuff. It's not free to take it.
I mean, no.
You know, bottom line is it's not free to take it.
That's right. You know, there's the...
you got to have people handling it, moving it.
Right. So. As we were talking about, you know, you mentioned staff, other things that they do. Right now, it's, you know, people are dumping it. We have to shove it back, firing up equipment, pushing back to make more room for more to be collected. But also, down the road, what happens to that stuff? Well, it's going to have to be ground up so that it can be decomposed to turn into some type of workable mulch in the future, because those great big branches, logs, mm-hmm. tree trunks, it won't work that way. So those have to be dealt with. So everything will need to get ground up to be put in a better position to be actually turned into like a compost mm-hmm. material and a mulch that can be used somehow. So we don't sell it. We don't give it away. We don't do anything with it beyond keeping it on our facility. But, you know, there's still a process. Then we have to grind it, or we do it on our own with our grinder that's not really set up for that. It can do it, but it doesn't do the best job at it, or else we're looking at contracting that out to be ground up, and then there's that expense on there. So, you know, it's all well and good to say free yard waste, but it's a no-charge yard waste, I guess, to residents.
Rough handling of that, grinding it, getting it to that position, that kind of thing, what, about 10 grand a year?
Probably. That's a good estimate, It would depend on the quantity and how the equipment, how many guys we would need, all those things. But I think 10's a fair estimate on the number of hours involved with it. You'd have fuel and repair and, you know, depreciation of equipment. You could make it really complex, but I think that's a...
But it's going to cost.
Probably low, ultimately, on that $10,000 figure. Yeah.
Okay. So. April, you did start your household hazardous waste,
yes.
Our Saturday morning drop-off,
yep.
And we'll have one in May. The June one will be at DMAC.
Right. Yep. So that's the household hazardous waste, oil-based paint, chemicals, fertilizers, cleaners, aerosol cans, pool chemicals. There's quite a list, but anything that could be harmful, essentially. Bring it out those Saturday mornings from 8 to 11 on May 3rd will be the next one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Short term. What is it? 8? Okay, yeah. You got to finish early because...
8:30 to 10:30,
I just say, get there early, go to the second entrance.
Yep. That's easiest.
There you go. That's the easiest way. Somebody will be there. I'll have to bring my batteries one of these days. I've been collecting them up.
Good.
Taping
good,
the
good,
ends.
Good.
And
protect them. You bet.
That. I don't want you to start a fire out there.
Thank you. Yeah. We'll be talking at DMAC about that, too, here in a little bit later on today about some things in regards to batteries. So, you know, you brought that up. And curiously, what batteries are you going to be bringing to us?
It'd be double A's and triple A's mostly.
Yep.
Go through
the
a lot of those.
Alkalines.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Yep. That's most of them. I have a few lithium rechargeables.
Good. Good to have those collected.
Yeah.
Those are, you know, the alkalines may not be as dangerous as the lithium, the ion rechargeable ones, but because those still have a charge. You pop them open and you'd have, that could be quite dangerous. So I want to make sure that we're collecting them. And I was trying to pitch that a little bit to be like, what batteries are we collecting? And the landfill and recycling center, we're going to collect them all batteries collected. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of them out there. You know, we get better chemists in the world to make different types of batteries and mixing this and that. It's not just the old alkaline batteries that we grew up with back in the day. And now there's so many more options. It's confusing. What do you do with these? Some you could throw away. Some you need to recycle. Some you can recharge. Mm-hmm. Some not. If you're confused about it, just bring them all to us. Let us sort them and make sure we get them in the right spot.
I have some of those rechargeables that don't really hold a charge for much.
Yep.
And they do wear out after a while. What do you do with that then? Yep. So again, that's one of those definitely take to recycling.
Absolutely. They still have a charge. You know, it's just not much anymore, but that's still a harmful thing. That pops open, and that's why you hear about fires at landfills, in garbage trucks, in recycle centers. You know, I've heard about tarping systems burning up, grinders. I know a landfill that's it's a transfer station, actually. They bought a big grinder to grind all their stuff so they could send it to the landfill. They get more stuff in their truck to send to a landfill down the road to speed that up. Well, guess what happened? Something ran through there, and they burned up their brand new grinder that they purchased. Bad day, terrible day right there. But that's scary. And the amount of batteries that are out there in the world right now, I mean, you, beware of those birthday cards that sing to you. beware of things that actually plug in. Then they have a battery backup inside those. It is very plentiful where the batteries are. So always keep that in mind. We ask at the window about, as people are coming in, do you have any of these things? And our staff's wonderful about asking, do you have batteries? Not just batteries, but something with a battery in it. You know, I'd have to think, maybe I do.
One of the others that people are going to hear about, because I know the city did with their new, or what they're going to do for their pickup, their waste pickup in June. Mm-hmm. They've got some new parameters in there, and one of the things they are suggesting, any kind of screen, just go directly to the landfill, because different sizes, different charges, different fees. So.
Yep.
It's the challenge that we face now.
It is, yep. And, you know, it still comes back to the doing the right thing with it. I know it's love to just get rid of all of it. Who cares? Throw it away. But we can't keep doing that, honestly. It's just something that needs to stop of just throwing everything away.
And we know
take the time
and
do the right thing with
and
it.
And we know there are businesses, actually, we've got some even here locally, working on that rare earth, harvesting the rare earth, the minerals out of those materials.
Yep.
So if they can do that, and do it cost effectively, we'll keep
that's
going
great
with
yeah
it too,
so. Absolutely,
but there is a fee for it.
Yep, unfortunately.
John Rosa, landfill administrator, recycling coordinator, our guest. Updates for recycling again, still pay attention to what's on when you go to recycle it. Everything's right there.
Yep. Tells
you.
And if it's
break
still
down your cardboard boxes,
and yes please. Yep. If you have questions, give us a call, 515-433-0591. If you have questions, something that we don't have the answer to, we'll do our best to get you that answer, because we want you to know what to do with your stuff.
All righty. Hey, I appreciate you coming and visiting with us today.
Thank you.
Have a great week.
Yes. Happy Earth Week.